Hello and welcome to the Stretford Paddock podcast. I am Joe and I'm joined today by Alex and long time no see in the garden. We've got David Pritt as well. How are you doing, lad?
I'm good, cheers, mate. How are you guys?
Yeah, very good.
I'm not too bad. Back to work, back busy. It's all good.
Tell us a little bit about that, Alex. So you're back to what?
Yeah, golf club's back open. So just making sure everyone's staying out of trouble, really. No. Keeping a social distance, all that kind of stuff. So it's just, we're open, like, we're doing extra hours and stuff to stay open so we can, like, keep the course open and stuff. So it's like, yeah, I was in from 7:45 this morning, was there till 8:30 last night. So
I bet they're absolutely loving it, aren't they?
Oh, mate, there's, I mean, I played every day since I've been back. So I played 6-7 days in a row now. I think everyone's, loads of people doing, because half people are furloughed, half people are doing nothing. They're just loving it.
Are you, I know obviously you're really good at golf, like play zero, whatever, one, what is it?
Yeah, one at the minute, yeah.
How is it, right, so like, do you know professional footballers, I know you're not professional, but like, go with yeah. me. Like, okay. Or like semi-professional footballers, players are really yeah. good.
Yeah.
They don't get better just from playing games, do they? You train certain things, you do yeah. that sort of stuff. With golf, when you're just doing a round of golf, how much better does that make you at your level?
For me, it's just like not being rusty. That's all it is. So it's just right. a case of like when I first started, you can do the things that do most things the same every time, but like little things like the delicate stuff and things like that just kind of go a bit and you make more mistakes and stuff. But I'm getting a little bit better as days go by at the minute. But without putting loads and loads of practice, it's just I'm not going to get much better than I am at the minute. But I can get it round now. And get it round again.
Like screaming into your golf bag when you make any mistakes because you can practice.
No, I don't do that. I used to. Yeah. I used to have a good shout on the golf course, but no point anymore. I'm not good enough to shout. No good. I'm not good enough to shout.
Little prank. Just shout four, and then go four really loud, yeah. even if you've not hit the ball. Get everyone to duck. I'll shout four, and then I'll shout get down.
Like yeah. that. Really panic him. Don't just really? A little bit panic him. Yeah. Proper panic.
Some of the old guys, they need to take a little seat down after you've done that a couple of times. Yeah. What about you, Dave? What you been up to then? I've not spoken to you since lockdown, really, have I?
No, not really. I've done absolutely nothing. I've attempted to grow a beard, which I still can't do. My hair's looking ridiculous. That's about it, really.
Can we see your hair?
It's getting a bit...
It looks all right.
Well, only because I'm wearing a hat. Listen, when I get out of the shower, it's like that. It's ridiculous.
Well, the curls don't. Kind of tame the length a little bit, don't they? They sort of foreshorten the hair by kind of putting a bit more surface area on it. Or something.
Just yeah. don't do a housing. Don't do a housing and just lose it. Don't just stick to it. Stick to it a bit longer.
You gotta do some more creative if you're going to do it. You know, get a Mohican or something. You can't just take it off.
Imagine if Steve had a Mohican. That would have been amazing.
Inverted Mohican, just a stripe shaved down the middle like that. Why does no one ever go for that one? Joe, turn your mic up, mate. That's not really an option, unfortunately. Let me see what I can do here. We're going to be talking today then a little bit about United's youngsters who are potentially going on loan. We've got David, of course, today, who is our youth expert here at Stretford Paddock. I say it every time. He shakes his head every time. But you know more about him than any of us. So that's your title. That's
that don't make me an expert, though, does it?
I think you're close to an expert.
Yeah.
Surely you're a little bit close to an expert. Let me just turn this up a little bit. Is that better?
That's
too loud now.
How's that?
I like that. That's good.
I like that. Okay.
It's good.
Good. So, Alex, do you want to take us through a few of the names?
Yeah. So,
on the spot, yeah, Dave. Yeah, get Dave's opinion on these things.
It's an MEN article, so you have to take it with a little bit of pinch of salt, a little bit. But to be honest, it does sound pretty. They are players that kind of got linked. So, we've got James Garner to start with. Dylan Levitt, Ethan Laird, and Ethan Galbraith, who have all been linked to go out on loan. Oh, there's been interest in them all for next season, I think, is the words on the street of it all. Yeah. But I think, to be honest, they all sound like they make sense, to be honest, because I think in the positions they're in, it looks like we're going to have a lot of players, especially at fullback. Yeah. Especially with Matic looking like he's sticking around, I don't think there's going to be too many places in midfield anymore. I think, and especially with McTominay and Fred, I think Fred was potentially linked. I don't know whether he was going to stick around. There was always like how good he was going to be, but he had a good job this season. So what do you reckon, Dave? I think that all them on loan would be a good thing for it.
Yeah, totally. But you got to do the loan the right way. I've known players in the past who've gone out on loan, and I wouldn't say they've been forgotten about, but it's just, oh, we'll just get them up, keep them happy so they're playing. Whereas these players, especially Levitt and Garner together, you know, they've been a midfield partnership since they were nine or something. That for me, I think they can make it. As a midfield partnership for the first team. I'm not saying they're going to push Pogba out and Fernandes at the moment, but I'm talking maybe a few years, looking at other options. So for them, I think you've got to give them the right type of loan where they're playing regularly, they're improving the game, and basically getting encouragement from United. And I've said this before to Joe, it'd be ideal if them two went out on loan together, you know, to the same club. Yeah. Just to keep that, it's like you hear about people like Vidic and Ferdinand. You always heard about them. They had this unspoken rule. You know, they just knew what each other was going to do. And for me, them two are the same in midfield. When one goes forward, the other stays. But it's great to watch. So I'd like them to go out on loan together if possible. Galbraith, he's another one. He's obviously played. He got his debut out in Kazakhstan. Play for Northern Ireland, top player, scores. I mean, he can score some brilliant goals. I don't think he scores bad goals. You look at his highlight reel, honestly, some of them are ridiculous. He'd be good for a loan as well, because I think he'd do a good job for a team as well. Like I say, scoring goals from outside the box. He's I wouldn't say he's like Scholes, but you know, when you saw Scholes at the edge of the box, he just knew he was going to hit it sometimes, and he is like that. As for Laird, I'm a bit funny. I do want him to go on loan, but I do think it's an opportunity for him at the moment where he could be part of that first team, because like Brandon, he can play left and right back. For me, he's on par with Brandon. Them two are just one plays on one side, one plays the other. You can't tell who the best one is. And I think he could do a job on the bench, maybe. You know, if Brandon's not playing, play instead of him. If Wan-Bissaka's injured, he could play instead of him. You know, just... He could be still part of that first team for the next season, but it's all about the game time. If he wants to try and get better than what he is being a part of the first team going to do that, or is playing every week for a loan team going to do that?
With some of the loan, I mean, right. So Laird is one that for years and years has talked about being like one of the best players in the academy, wasn't he? Like brilliant going forward, good defensively, and then obviously was seeing Williams sort of sneak in front of him by virtue of his transition to left back. Do you think that Laird is on par with Diogo Dalot, or where would you sort of rank him in terms of his quality currently? Obviously, potential is another thing, but do you think he should be in the mix ahead of Dalot?
I think if he didn't have his injuries, yeah, he'd be there or there, but he'd be doing what Brandon's doing, I think, at the moment. But he's been set back by injuries. Another thing was when the 18 season, was it last season? I think it was last season. We had Pujamal playing right back because we didn't have enough centre back. And Ethan stepped in there to play centre back, and he did a great job there as well. I don't think he was happy playing there. Well, I know he wasn't happy playing there because he likes bombing up and down the wing. But he did a great job, and so he's just a versatile player. I think you could, maybe in the mould of like a John O'Shea, I don't want him to be that type of player. I think he's a solid right back and a solid left back, but you could have him there. And you need a player to do a role. He could do it for you, I think. He could adapt to many positions.
Do you see him as maybe someone that plays wing-back a bit better? Because I think everyone was kind of pushing this season, Phil, especially when we're trying the three at the back, because it happened a couple of times, and I think that we'll probably do it again. And I reckon as well, I think with the pre-season, I think they'll probably maybe try Wan-Bissaka at the right side of centre-half a bit more. I think that it was more of a shape thing why he didn't get played there. Do you think that Laird potentially fits in at the wing-back role a bit better than Wan-Bissaka does, say? You know, because Wan-Bissaka, obviously very defensive. So it's just a case of, is someone said with Dalot in the comments, I think Dalot fits in that kind of mold as well, where he's probably better as a wing back than he is as a out and out fullback. And do you see that's as probably their spot, where it's kind of them playing, they're almost the system players that when we need to switch to three at the back, maybe we play Wan-Bissaka at right side of centre half, or maybe just for a different system, you know, maybe we have to leave Wan-Bissaka out and we need that as the attacking option. Do you think they fit in there a bit better?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, I personally think that Laird's better at going forward than Wan-Bissaka. Yeah. I think it's proven really. If you watch him, you know, whipping balls in, he gets goals as well.
Yeah, yeah. I was just gonna say that. Yeah.
Wan-Bissaka is obviously a tremendous right back. I was critical when we first got him because I thought he fell asleep sometimes, but he's just moved on and he's looking like this amazing player now. So it's going to be tough for Ethan to get in there. But I think you're right about maybe, you know, playing wing back because he can bomb forward, but that's not taking away his defensive duties. I still think he's a hell of a defender. Mm. I don't think he's quite what Wan-Bissaka is at the moment, but I think he's capable of doing that. And I just think if we do treat him right and keep him around at the club, I'm not saying not do a loan. You know, a loan could be optional.
Yeah,
he could be. Honestly, he could be. I think the next starting right back for years to come because he, like I said, going forward, he's brilliant and defensively, I still think he's great.
Just a quick question: can I ask how the hell an ice cream man can be self-isolating?
I don't get that. I've just said
it. Maybe he puts the ice in self-isolated.
Yeah, I don't get
understand
it.
How some, exactly that works. There's
some takeaways and some food things, and you're just going, you aren't trying in this.
You aren't even trying Yeah, there's people, like two people in the doorway inviting you in. We'll come back to this because I want to talk about Angel Gomez as well, but someone's mentioned it in the comments. I've just checked on BBC Sports website, and they're breaking news coming out 5 minutes ago that 6 positive COVID-19 tests in the Premier League. The Premier League says on Sunday the 17th of May and Monday the 18th of May, 748 club and staff were tested for COVID-19. Players and club staff were tested for COVID-19. Of these, 6 have tested positive from 3 different clubs. Players or club staff who have tested positive will now self-isolate for a period of 7 days, which isn't it meant to be 14?
Yeah.
The Premier League say they're not releasing details on clubs and individuals. So there's two ways of looking at it. One, you know, it's scary and this is very, you know, it's not like the Premier League is exempt from this. But on the other hand, is 6 from 748, you know, kind of what they're expecting? What do you think to that news?
I think to be honest, it's pretty good considering they've tested everyone. Like that's not just players, that's everyone in terms of all that kind of, every kind of stuff. I think the worry a bit is that it's 6 from 3 clubs and they're being pretty, you know, they've not said a lot there. You know, that could be 4-1-1 and that's kind of, you know, that might be more of an isolated problem. Or even it could be, you know, they've not said the clubs, it could be the two Manchester clubs and one just outside, it could be the Liverpool clubs. Yeah. One just outside as well, and that could be where people get panicky, and that's why I think they've not said anything. But again, I mean Carragher and I listened to a bit of Sky Sports just this morning. They said, look, Premier League is going to be the safest place to work in the country by a mile. No one else is going to get tested as much as these guys are. No one else is going to get tested as often and dealt with as quickly. So that 6 is probably expected, and probably the way that you look at the percentages in the country and stuff is probably probably bang on, you know, probably around the curve, around the percentage you're expecting. So, you know, there's a few worrying things with that. You know, were they fully self-isolating the last few days away from these players and stuff like that? Have they fully stayed away from the players in the last couple of days when they've been coming in for this testing? How well they've done that? And hopefully it doesn't get any worse than that. But I don't know. I think it all depends. If it goes, I think if it's a couple of players from the odd club, I think they can keep going. But if they get the thing where they get 5 players coming once and it's all from the same club and they're all first team starters, then there's going to be a problem and you can't do it. You can't play. Yeah.
Well, I suppose, right. See, the thing with it is that really the testing is all it's doing is just showing how widespread this is. And I think people sort of, there's two sides to this. One is, why do Premier League players get tests when there are more vulnerable people? There are key workers who don't get tests, which there is, I personally can't see any argument for. I completely agree with that. But on the other side of things, these are people too. And now that there are 6 people who now know not to see their grandparents, not to see this person, not to see that person. So in a way, we're still testing human beings here. It's not like footballers are this sort of isolated pocket of society that don't come into contact with anyone. It's any people that we find to have it, it's better than not finding them. Obviously, wasting tests and using more tests than are necessary just to get a sport up and running isn't particularly morally great. But those six people now know to isolate. No one knows. No people. The people who are there close to and who have been in contact with them now know to isolate.
Yeah.
So it is really, it's good to find as many people as you can who have the disease. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, obviously you want to find everyone who's got it, but I just think this thing with the Premier League where it seems it's more important than anything else in the country at the moment. And I just don't understand that at all.
No.
And it's nothing to do with the fact that Liverpool might win the title. I've said in the past that I'd rather the league finish now and they give them the title. It's just at the moment, I just don't get it. If it was something, you know, say like you had a full team of people who've never had chicken pox and then someone from the team caught it, there's no way that they'd be thinking, right, we'll do the training together. I just get them out of the way and make sure everyone's not got it. But with this, it seems that they just rather take the risk with it.
Mm. It's almost like we've got to a point where it's like, well, we've tried for 3 months. Isn't it gone yet? Do you know what I mean? Like, well, it's not gone, but we're all bored now, so let's just go back to work. You're like, no, it's not. It hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah,
I know that eventually, you know, people will. There's going to be negative consequences of no one working and not having enough money and social support, and these sorts of things may start to struggle eventually with the economy. But you sort of think it feels like we're all going back to work because people are sick of not being at work and people are sick of being at home. But that's the whole point.
Yeah, but it's like in 1942, they go, oh, we're a bit sick of this war now. Can we just get the football back on?
You know, yeah, exactly.
Get on with it.
No, yeah, I know. It's all very strange, isn't it? But at least, you know, those six people and the people in and around them now know what's going on there. If let's say that, you know, United had, because that could be Man United. We don't know, do we? Obviously,
no.
Statistically, probably isn't, but that doesn't mean anything. So if that was, you know, four players from United's first team, would you be thinking, hang on a sec, this is, you know, again, look at taking away the sort of the social aspects and all that, we all agree that it seems like they're just going for money and, you know, really these sorts of tests shouldn't be used the way they are being. But would you sort of think, well, this isn't, from a sporting perspective, would you think, this is a bit unfair, this, we've lost four players to this virus and everyone's still playing on like everything's normal?
Well, that's it as well. Like, you know, the players that are, if you get an injury in the season, you can almost kind of say, well, look, that's, number one, he's either, you know, that's how he's built, that's the kind of player you've signed or whatever, you know, you know these kind of things, or it's unlucky, or he's not been training properly and stuff like that, you know, all this. But this is an illness that we've all been warned about that we're potentially going to get, and if that means that you can't play, it is an unfair thing to bring it. But but I don't think, unless it's a really strong, unless it's like half, like I said, five to out of an 11 or something like that, that get it out of one team, I don't think they're going to stop them. I think as long as they can, especially they kept it quiet today straight away, because if they wanted to, they could have said it was two players from this team, two players from this team, two players from this team, or one from here, one. But they're going to keep it quiet as much as they can and see how they can do it. There's comments as well about Troy Deeney. I think Troy Deeney.
Oh, I was going to bring. I was going to mention that. Should we?
Troy Deeney's bang on. You know, he came out and said that he's not going to play. Because, you know, he's got a 5-month-old baby who's had breathing problems and all this, and it'd be ridiculous for him to come back in and risk getting it, because there is obviously going to be some risk involved with it all. And
especially when we keep seeing, sorry to interrupt you, especially when we keep seeing the likes of Callum Hudson-Odoi, whatever's going on with that situation, I'm not even going to comment, but the fact that he's seen people, Kyle Walker, we've seen Jack Grealish, we've seen Marcus Rojo, we've seen players from, you know, pretty much every club or many clubs breaking lockdown, breaking rules, going and seeing people, doing this and that. It's all well and good. Or we're testing once a week or twice, once every 2 weeks or whatever. People are breaking the rules in and amongst that. So you can't just be certain that Troy Deeney's teammates are going to not do something that they shouldn't do just because, well, they're getting tested. Well, some people might think, well, we're getting tested anyway, and I can do what I want. So, carry on.
I seen something else this morning that, because they asked, I think it was one of the doctors was on Sky with them as well, and they asked about who's going to get tested, because they said, look, obviously the players are all going to get tested, and the doctors and everyone around the club, but families aren't getting tested, and society is opening up a bit. You know, people are still going to the shops, and maybe these players aren't going to go to the shop. These players are going to apparently isolate within 7 to 14 days of the first game and things like that, so they're going to go to a hotel. Which is crazy. I don't see how that works. They're going to isolate away from families and stuff, but they're still going to see families. You're not going to tell me they're not going to go back to families, not going to go back to households. and they're going out, you know, you go to the shops and stuff, there's always a risk going in there. No one's getting tested going in the Tesco's and Asda, are they? So there's a risk that they get it, then you go home and get it, and then next minute, and yeah, these players are going to get tested all the time, but it's not going to be a foolproof thing. And like I said, if any player feels that they shouldn't have to play, shouldn't play, and then I don't think they should. And I think that Troy Deeney was well within his right to say what he said today.
Dave, have you seen much on that? Have you seen the criticism and stuff that he's been getting as well?
Yeah, I just don't understand. It's people's selfishness, really, thinking, once again, that football's more important than anything else in life. I mean, I love football. It is important, very important to me. I mean, the amount of games I go to, the amount of money I spend to go and watch it, but I'm not fussed about it coming back anytime soon. I just don't understand it. And like you were saying earlier about if a player gets injured, you can accept that. Because, for example, say like someone gets a sprained ankle, the player's out, but you can't pass that sprained ankle on to another player. Whereas this, you can pass it on to other people. And there's that story in the Bundesliga where he was staying at a hotel and one of the staff went to the shop to get something. I think it was a toothbrush, and came back and they tested him and he was positive with it. So he was removed. But there's a chance that one of these things might be missed, or a test might not be done properly, and somebody who's got it has not been tested negative. And then you put them all in a football pitch, and then it could be spread to 22 plus people.
Yeah, and some of the comments on Sky Sports' tweet that I saw that were the comments where people were like, you're not getting paid then, Troy. You're like, well, if you don't come back, you're not getting paid. And stuff like, there's been key workers who have moved out from their flats or moved out from their house into new accommodation so they can keep working. Why can't they do the same? You're like, because he's not a key worker. The whole thing.
It's a business. It's a recreational sport. It's not, you know, I know there's a lot of money involved, but it's not, it doesn't define the world.
No, and the he should have to move out from his child who's, and I don't know if he lives with the mother of his child or what, but let's guess that he does. He's got a 5-month-old child. He's either, you know, looking after it or he's with someone who's looking after it, and they're both looking after it. Giving that of responsibility to someone else because he has to move out for 2 weeks, first of all, is very difficult. I'm sure he can pay, you know, nannies and carers and stuff. But again, that's inviting someone else into the household that doesn't necessarily have to be there if he can do it. It's just like the idea of criticising someone who is a footballer who basically plays a game for a living that is completely unnecessary. For not wanting to jeopardize potentially jeopardize the health of his child is just, I mean, what is in your head when you say something like that? Speaking of what is in your head, moving from that onto what is on your head, what do you think to this then?
Unbelievable, isn't it?
How has he kept it secret for 10 years, 15 years? He's not bald.
Has he been getting the razor out every single day? There's not even been a hint of stubble on there for years, has there?
And it's not even like he's receding or anything, and he's done it.
That's ridiculous. A very good wig.
Imagine if it's a wig. Let me know in the comments. I don't think I've ever seen someone who can grow hair completely bick their head for 15 years. He was bald.
What threw me. Do you ever remember Prison Break?
Yeah.
His brother who's in prison, he's trying to get out. He was always bald.
Yeah.
Then, 10, 15 years later, I saw him with hair.
I saw someone mentioned, there's a couple others. There's Pepe, who can grow hair, apparently, who never did, but he's got hair. And there's someone else as well, one other person. Was it Martin Skirtle, I think, who actually has got hair? But Ashley Young has got hair.
It's not like he's done the David Silva trick either, is it?
No, he's not had a hair transplant. There's greys in that. Also, here's something else I don't get. He's one of the few people who can do his own hair. Why is he letting it grow out now? He was. Surely, don't tell me he was going to the barbers to get that bick fade. He was just whipping it off himself. Surely,
There's no way he goes from bick to that in 7 weeks. There's no chance. No chance.
I can't believe it. And I wonder why he's chosen to grow it out. Maybe in solidarity with everyone else who can't get their normal haircuts. But if you're telling me Ashley Young has been going to the barbers. What must have been once a week, because there's never been a lick of hair on that hair.
It's more than once a week. That's every day.
You never know. He might have been going to get cutthroat shave done and then just do the head at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, has he got a beard on there? A little bit of a beard. He has. He looks good. He looks 10 years younger. If you said to me he was 22 years old, you'd be like, yeah, nice one.
I reckon with him back, I reckon he'd be good. Well. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a bit more grip on a header. I can't believe it. Someone says, wasn't he getting his barber flown over from Manchester? Surely not. No way.
Maybe you wouldn't pay for a barber if you were that. But I know these lads have got a lot of money to burn on stuff. But if you're bald and you just need someone to go,
yeah, get a teammate to do it. Oh, someone said it's been edited. Defo been edited. Well, not saying like it doesn't seem to be saying it like everyone knows it's edited, didn't you know? He said defo been edited. Like that's a guess from him. Do we think there's a chance it's been edited? Let's get it.
Not in the slightest. No.
It's very, very well done. If so.
No, that's not. No chance.
It's incredible. It's incredible. I can't believe it. There was a great comment on Reddit when someone posted it. It said, someone posted that, and then the top comment was, nature is healing, we are the virus. like he's like the canals in Venice or something. But I personally can't believe it.
I love it.
I think it was great. Jermaine Defoe was bald, then he managed to grow hair. Maybe is Jermaine Defoe another one? I've not seen. When did he was bald for years, Jermaine Defoe, though, wasn't it?
Jermaine Defoe there. It's madness.
It is madness. Everyone's saying it suits him. It does, it looks good. Right, let's talk a little bit, moving back to United, Dave, about Angel Gomez. It's almost up there with the Paul Pogba saga as the sort of the most kind of newspaper inches for an outgoing Manchester United player in the last 12 months. It's been going on for ages, this, hasn't it? This Angel Gomez charade. The latest has been that he's potentially going to Chelsea. I think there's you know, just over a month left on his contract now, end of June. What? Give me your take on what's been going on since the last time we spoke to you.
I really don't know, but it's this. The thing, the only thing I can think of is he won the under-17 World Cup.
Mm.
I had Sancho there. He had Phil Foden, other players who've gone on to.
He was captain as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he didn't play in the final. He was dropped, but yeah, he was captain of the tournament. And he's looking around saying what Sancho's doing, what Phil Foden's doing. And he basically maybe jealous or wants that. He's not going to get at United anytime soon. I think he'll play games, but I don't think he's going to be starting every game or be coming off the bench every game.
Yeah.
And the rumour is he's going to Chelsea. I mean, is that really going to happen at Chelsea for him as well?
Yeah.
I just don't understand it.
Well, you've been saying for, I mean, at least 6 months to me, we've been doing the youth review since sort of the start of the season. And you've been saying the whole time that of him and, it, for a long time, it was him and Chong. Both of them got contracts expiring. Both of them seemed to be sort of locked in some sort of debate with the club and not sure whether they were going to stay. You said the whole time that you thought Chong would stay and it's looking like Gomez probably wouldn't stay. And again, we're closest to that. Like I said, we're 6 weeks away from his contract expiring. Do you still stand with that? Do you think he's probably going to be going then?
I just think, I mean, he's a nice enough guy, you know, when you speak to him or you meet him, he's a nice bloke. But I just think he gets bad advice and he's been told, you know, told stuff, he's getting smoke blown up, you know, I mean, I've heard quotes from people around him and it's ridiculous, really. I just think he's a small player. He's technically amazing. He has dipped in form the past year or so, but he's still up there. And I just think he just got to bide his time, be patient. We're talking earlier about loans. I think a loan for him would be perfect. Yeah. Getting him regular football, competitive football, and then proving himself, because going to Chelsea, how's he going to prove himself if he's doing the same thing, just playing for the reserves to Chelsea?
Yeah.
I just don't understand it.
The thing with I know he's small, and I know that people like to. There are two sorts of seems to be two thoughts of schools of thought with that. Is one is people. There are certain people who say every time he's very small, it's going to take a while to adapt to the Premier League. There's another group of people who seem to say, well, who cares how small he is? This player's this small. This player's this small. This player's this small. But really, when you look across the broad spectrum of professional footballers, not many of them are 5'4", are they? They really aren't. And that is an obstacle to overcome. And the fact that, Messi's small. Messi's also the most talented footballer that's ever lived. And as good as Angel Gomez is, he ain't that. So it's going to... I reckon Or I think, actually, I'll ask you, Alex, do you think his size and stuff not only makes it a bit more difficult to sort of wean him into the squad, do you also think it makes a potential loan more difficult? Because he can't go, you know, he couldn't go on loan to the likes of Stoke.
He couldn't go in the Championship.
You know, West Brom. He'd struggle to be on loan in the Championship. Do you think it does kind of hinder his chance for first team games at any level, just because you have to pick the team so specifically for him?
I think it does, and I think I mean, you guys watched him up close in pre-season, and I kind of mentioned that maybe he wouldn't be able to fit the pressing thing that Ollie wants to do in the system, but there's still a little bit about it, and there's still, you know, the argument I got a lot this year was, but I had a debate with Adam McCall, and he said, well, Tahith Chong got a game and he's in the same position. I'm like, well, we have no right wingers. It's not like we have a bad one. We have no one. We have Dan James, who fills in there, who's actually a left winger. You know, that's what we've got. So that's why he probably got a game. We had bad number 10s. You know, we had Pereira, we had Lingard, but they're also four or five years older. Angel you know, Lingard's 6 years older. I've also done it at a high level. You know, Pereira went to Valencia and did all right. He did okay. He's done okay in a couple of games this year. You know, There's things you expect you're going to get out of these players in terms of the press and things like that. I don't think you've got that from Angel. I think that I agree. I think, look, he's a quality player, and I'd love to have seen him play. I'd love to see him walk into the team and show. I mean, he's had a couple of chances this year. I saw him play at Old Trafford against, I think he came on in the first Astana game and looked, you know, his touches looked sharp all the way through, and he definitely played the full trip to Astana, and you know, he looks sharp and everything like that, but he's not he's not stood out ridiculously. Yeah. He's not controlled the game, and for as much as, you know, and he's not deserved to be the starting number 10. I don't think he's deserved to start. So, and it's a tough one to. He's one of those players that I don't think comes on and changes the game either. And that's the other thing as well. You've not got unbelievable pace. You've not got unbelievable press. You've not got all that coming on off the bench. You've got someone that can find a pass. Yes. But we've seen it with Mata this year. He can't come on and change a game. When he started, he's great. But Andrew Gomez isn't going to play 90 minutes for Man United anytime soon. And I sort of kind of want him to go away somewhere else and prove us all wrong. Because like Dave said, you know, I know people that know him. Dave's met him a few times. And he's a really nice lad that everyone wants to do well. And you kind of want him to go away and do well. But I think it's kind of got to the point where we can't be hoping that this lad signs this contract and becomes the most committed player in the world football, because it doesn't sound like he is. You know, he's got contract offers. You're at Manchester United. You're not been. Yeah. It's not like he's been offered peanuts to come and play.
No,
you know, he's been offered. He's a very good contract offers. Just come and play your stuff. Take your time. Get in the team. Yeah. Go out on loan if you need to. You know, forced a loan. Start with that. Say, look, I'll sign this contract, but I need a loan. I need to go somewhere else. I need to get some game time. But I don't think he wants that. I think what he wants is, I want a contract and I want to be in the first team, because this is why X, Y, and Z said they're going to do that. And I don't see them doing that.
No.
I don't see him getting into Chelsea. There's no chance he walks
into Chelsea. The only level I think that he could sign a first team contract and be playing, you know, 30 games a season for is, you know, outside the top five leagues in Europe, personally. I think at this stage, potentially a French league team, you know, Portugal perhaps, or, you know, maybe Spain. We did see it with Pereira getting more games. But I think he needs to develop more. And let's not forget now, he's basically had a year off. Not really, but he's not in the last 12 months. How many games has he played, Dave? Like 12, 13 games? A mixture of injuries. And he's basically had a season off. Not quite, but you know what I mean? One of the most pivotal development years of a player's career. He needs to just play games again, no matter what level it is. And it does worry me for his sake that it seems as though he's got his heart set on bigger and better things than United. And, you know, let's face it, there aren't many bigger and better things than United, despite how poor we've been in recent years. You look at how many youth players have left Man United and we've gone, oh, we shouldn't have let them go. PK, potentially. And maybe Michael Keane is the other one who you would kind of have had back. But even then, that's up in the air. And obviously, Pogba, we did get back. Yeah. But that's it. In the last 15 years.
Yeah. I don't want him to turn into like a Callum Gribbin. He was another one where, and I think it might be the same situation with him. Callum Gribbin, amazing footballer, really was. There or thereabouts getting in the first team. And then Marcus Rashford got in ahead of him. And he never got over it. Just never got over it. Now he's in Sheffield reserves. But he had the potential to be Premier League player easily. But he got to his head and he let it affect him. And I think now Angel's seeing people like Brandon getting in the team and Mason Greenwood, who are years below him, you know, regularly getting in the team. And he's thinking, where's my opportunity? And I don't, the way I see it, I might be completely wrong, but I feel that he's looking at that thinking, you know, that should be me. Yeah. And I don't want him to go to his head and then a player that, oh, remember Angel Gomez, because he is that player where he should be not remember Angel. Oh, there's Angel Gomez. He's that
the last
player.
You don't want the Zeki Fryers thing as well, where it feels the same kind of thing here, where he sees something else somewhere else where it's going to be great. And it only takes an injury or it takes a... Because if he doesn't get a run in that team, then what do you do? You know what?
Yeah.
Where does it end and stuff? And I don't know. And the other thing is, people mentioned in the comments players that are small and very good. They're also not 19, 20 years old. There's also a very difference between a lad who's 5'6" and has done it for... And Bernardo Silva is the example. You know, he was at Monaco for a few years and you develop... He could develop into a footballer.
Yeah, he was at Benfica as well before that, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But that's the thing, though, when we said he's small, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying it's a bad thing that you can't just jump into a team and be ready to play.
No.
You need to build that and play for a while. Like, that's why I said alone. But that's the downside to it. I mean, you can be small and play. I'm not saying that.
Of course. But it is just something that has to be taken into account in a way. You know, if he was 5'9", you know, presumably with that, it would be a bit stronger, maybe, you know, be a bit quicker, all those sorts of things. And again, though, like, there are examples of short players. Of course there are. But most footballers aren't 5'4", are they? I'm not trying to have a go at him and not saying that he can't be a footballer because he's too small. But it just requires a certain level of sort of delicacy with when and how he plays that, you know, maybe is also hindered. Nice comment from Joe. Sorry. He said, maybe it's his dream to play for Vitesse, but in order to do that, he needs to sign a contract with Chelsea. Because they just send everyone out on loan to Vitesse, don't they? Could be.
I think his biggest problem as well was Jose Mourinho. I know Jose gave him his debut against Palace, but what we know that Jose wants big, strong players. I mean, that's why Scott McTominay got in the team. Don't get me wrong, he's doing amazingly well now.
Also,
I mean,
how muscly is he? Have you seen that picture of him in the park?
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Cristiano Ronaldo, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, he wouldn't have been my first choice to be in the first team when he first come through, but he was a Jose player. He was the tallest and strongest, and it's worked out brilliantly for him.
Do you not think that's kind of been United? I mean, apart from the class of 92, where you kind of go, look, these were the special players that made it through. Have you not seen that a lot of the players that actually come and play games worthwhile are the ones that are just the workhorses through the academy? You know, the lads that just graft and get through and get United, they're the ones that come in and do very well. You know, after that class of 92, you kind of look at the players like Darren Fletcher, you kind of look at the players, even like John O'Shea, and even Johnny Evans, you know, came through and were just, you know,
even in his position, you know, the likes of Jesse Lingard is, and Danny Welbeck even, are all,
they were just,
you know,
lads that
hard working.
And that to me can, and you look at the players that have come through in this last crop, you know, Scott McTominay, you say, Rashford's the special talent. Rashford's the special talent. But then the other ones that made it through, Brandon Williams, and then you look at who else, I'm trying to think, Mason Greenwood as well, the special talent. But there's a lot of them players that are just, they're just lads that are putting a shift in. And the argument that we're getting it completely wrong with Angel and we're dealing with this wrong in all this, I can't buy into that. I can't see that we get it right with these five or six players that we've got into the first team we're treating perfect, yet we're treating one player bad. I don't get that. You know, we're treating all... There's got to be something on the players in there. And I can't... I'm not saying, you know, we can't say what that is. We don't know whether it's training. We don't know whether it's the way the contract negotiations are going. We don't know all that because we honestly don't know. No one is going to come out and tell us that. But if we're getting it right with Mason, we're getting it right with Brandon, we're getting it right with Scott McTominay, we're getting it right with all these players coming through, you're not telling me that we get it completely wrong with what looks like one of the most talented out of the group of them. Why would we get it wrong with that player? So, I don't know. Look, I think...
Players you mentioned as well, even McTominay. If you look at Brandon, Mason and McTominay, they've out of the academy, they're the ones playing more than anyone at the moment. And when the opportunity came up for them to sign a contract, it was signed instantly. Mason signed it straight away. Oh, I think there was a couple of days delay. Brandon signed his and McTominay signed his. It's never been an issue. It's always been, I want to play for United, where if he's stalling, it puts it in the manager's head that maybe you don't want to play for us.
Yeah, and that's always been, even Ferguson was a big fan of that as well, wasn't he? The, you've got to want to be here, not as much as talent, obviously, because, you know, a world-class player always has a little bit more leeway than anyone else. But when you're a young lad who's coming through, you know, other than since class of 92, maybe Rashford, there aren't many young lads who have been so incredible that you would do anything to keep them. Maybe, again, Greenwood is sort of approaching that kind of level. But generally, it's... Gomez hasn't been so incredible that we're going, God, he wants to go, but you know what? We should throw 50, 60 grand at him. He just hasn't done that. And I think that willingness to play and the excitement to play for United is such a big factor.
If he was more consistent as well, I mean, under 18 level, he was unplayable at points. You know, 15, 16 years old, and he was the best player on the pitch. Moved up to the 23s. Still young, you know, he struggled at first, then started doing well, but then he dipped in form. I don't know why. I don't know whether he found it hard or it was something else. Yeah. So there's, you can't then say, well, you should, yeah, definitely should be playing for the first team. If that continued and he was, you know, not as good as he was for the 18s, but still averaging good games, you'd be saying, yeah, he deserves it. But
yeah.
I don't know if he does at the moment. I want him to. I mean, I'm a huge fan of him and I want him in that team, but I don't think he deserves it right now.
No. Well, in the way that McTominay kind of got in the first team and surprised everyone with how good he was, Gomez has kind of been in and around the first team and not really impressed that much, has he? So, again, he's been given a great offer if reports are to be believed. It's not like we've gone, well, we'll just give you, you know, 500 quid a week because we're Man United. It does sound like he's been given an excellent offer and it doesn't
I won't be surprised if it's more or less the same as Chong's, and the reason Chong held out was to get that contract.
Yeah,
I think a lot of it is probably down to the playing time offer side of it. But I don't know how these players get. I mean, they can't promise anything to these players. Surely you can't say to them you're going to play every week because you know what, you might not. You know, especially, and we have signed players that it looks like Pogba might be sticking around. I don't know. It's a big maybe, but you've got Bruno that fits into that position very well. We're obviously looking at other players in terms of Jack Grealish and stuff like that. And if he comes in, you know, it's going to be a tough ask for him to get through that team. But then again, you know, you look at, imagine being Mason Greenwood. I mean, you've got Martial, who was signed for 50 million not too long ago. He's going to be there for a while. You've got Marcus Rashford. You're now looking at Jadon Sancho probably coming in, and that's all that's getting linked. And he's playing in the position that you've got your chances in this season. He's going to come in and be there. Imagine if he went, well, that's
That whole argument, and exactly carrying on with what you're saying there, that whole argument of, well, let's not get him because it might stunt the growth of this player. You just think Manchester United aren't in the business of lowering the quality of our squad to suit the sentimental needs of youth players. And as good as any one player is, if you are that good, you need to be getting in ahead of Jadon Sancho or Anthony Martial or whoever at number 10. If you aren't good enough to get in front of those players, then you're not playing. Because why would we pick worse players just because we know you? Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's why Brandon's been getting in the team, because he's been doing a better job. And Mason's been scoring goals, so that's why they stay in the team. You know, you got to prove it. You can't just go in because I like you, so you get to stay in. You've got to prove it.
Exactly. Yeah, like, don't sign him because he'll stop this person's growth. Good. If you're not good enough to be better than the signings we can make, why would we make our squad worse to suit you?
Obviously, go on. Obviously, United want to play youth team players. We obviously do want that. But if you can get better, you have to get better. And Fergie proved that all the way through. You know, Fergie signed when he didn't, you know, he signed Van Persie and when you had Danny Welbeck coming through and things like that. But you know what? He won us a title in the end. And he was still looking at, if the rumours are true, he was still looking at Lewandowski. So them players were never in the plans kind of thing. Gerard Piquet came in. He looked like a great player, but he brought Vidic in and Vidic did a better Premier League job than Gerard Piquet. It was a horrible thing to do. Gerard Piquet had to go. And yes, he went on to have a great career, but at that time, he just wasn't good enough. And he didn't fit that system and didn't do the job. And that's the same. It should be the same all the way through. If these players come in and can do a better job, you know, tough.
I'll say it again. The amount of players that leave United and we really kick ourselves for letting them go, you can count on one hand in the last 20 years. So it's not like we get these situations wrong time after time after time, is it? We very rarely lose out on a player where you go, fucking hell, they'd be playing for us week in, week out now. It just doesn't happen.
PK would have left anyway because Shakira would have lived in Manchester. It's not happening.
No, probably not. It is sad, actually. There's some great belly dancing classes in Manchester, though. I'm sure she could have got some work somewhere.
Have you been to a couple, Joe? No?
No, I stand outside them, but I've not been in. What have you lot got planned for the rest of the week then, Dave? What are you up to?
Absolutely nothing.
Have you been getting into like puzzles? Do you play any games?
Yeah, I've been playing old video games. I've got my PS2 back out. I've been playing really old games, and it's
what do you play?
Funny. What have I got? I actually played the other day the original Tomb Raider. I've been going through that. It's pretty tough, you know, because so static and stuff like that. But I remember everything, although where the secrets are, and it's weird. It's like, even though it's 20 odd years old, it's I must have played it.
Some things are just ingrained deep in the head, aren't they?
Yeah.
What about you, Alex? You're just playing golf all the time now, aren't you?
Yeah, working a lot. I'm going to go for a run now because I've been a bit lazy with that for the last few days. So go and get that done. But yeah, loads and loads of golf because that's gets me out of the house.
I've seen my players. I'm talking about my friends here. These are my players. My friends on Instagram have been out for a round of golf because the golf course in Worksop's reopened back up. And I didn't say reopened back up then, did I? Reopened. And it's made me want to play golf. So I might get the bus to your golf.
You know what's
crazy
about these rules is that we can't go and sit in a park and have a chat and social distance. That's not allowed. But
no.
You can come play golf with me. Same thing.
Yeah, no. We can walk around a park though, which is essentially what golf is.
Is it kind of? Can you?
Yeah, kind of. But you can't hit balls at people. I would love to have a game of golf though. I don't even like it. Well, I do like it. I'm not very good at it. But we'll just something in it.
Yeah, that's my issue. I'm just no good at it.
Have you played before?
When I was younger, I used to go to the Style driving range there as well. Used to knock a few balls. But
I was good.
They always used to go left and right, never straight.
Well, how far can you drive it, Alex? I want to ask you a few golf questions.
So my average is about 270.
So that's such a sweet spot.
Isn't that long, to be honest. Compared to like some people, but you know, it does the job, especially when it's really bouncy because it's rock hard at the minute, so it's great fun for that.
Could you hit it harder than that? Tiger Woods says that he only hits every shot at like 75% or whatever.
Yeah, I have to hit it at 90% to hit it 50 yards short of where Tiger hits it to because these guys are. You've seen the guys doing the long drive stuff. That's what it would look like if they all hit it 100%. But the problem is they hit it off the planet most of the time onto different places, you know. Yeah. But them guys can hit it 400 yards, which is
and it's just gone. Yeah. It looks like they're trying to like twist their own bodies in half, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. None of that for me. Okay. Much more controlled.
Lovely. Right. That's going to be all from us today. Thanks for joining us, Dave. It's good to see you. I've not seen you in a bit.
Yeah, it's good to see you both.
Where can people find you, Dave?
Just personal stuff is at David J Pritt on Twitter or David Pritt on Instagram, and then obviously Academy Review on both Twitter and Instagram. But to be honest, I've nothing been going on.
There's no Academy, I've not been
posting on them. But when the games are back up and running, that's where I'm active.
Lovely. Right. Thank you very much for joining me, lads. Cheers for joining us, Alex. You can find Alex at baggers_Alex on Twitter and at a golf club near you, most likely. Once again, let's just have a quick look at this before we go. Oh, look at that.
Beautiful.
Fantastic.
It should be put on a T-shirt, that.
It should be, shouldn't it? Sure. Well, yeah, we'll cut that out. Get that on a T-shirt. Lockdown got me like. Right. We'll see you tomorrow for a debate in tomorrow afternoon. And, of course, we've got the news and the paper talk in the morning, as we do every single day. So make sure you check that out. Thanks again for joining me, lads. Thank you for joining us at home. See you next time.
Cheers.